Today we want to look at this question. Does God intend for us to obey His commandments as absolutes, or just take them as suggestions, or not take them at all? Our kids in school and high school, grade school for that matter, high school and the universities are being taught there are no absolutes. There is no right or wrong. Just do whatever is right for you. You see, God did give us commandments for our good always. The commandments not given to keep you from having a healthy life, a blessed life, a joyous life. They're given so that you will have a happy, blessed, joyous, joyful life. Somebody say amen. So I want to just do a little review from the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are absolutes. Amen. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a rough life. These commandments will make your life everything you want to be, or they can break you if you break them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and I'm speaking from experience there. I know these commandments work. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy 10, 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all of his ways? Now, if you feel like it, do it. And to love him and to serve, say serve, the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. People say, well, I love God, but they're not serving him. We are commanded to love and serve God. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And those two commandments right there, if we would do it, will solve every problem America has. If we all love God enough to love our neighbor the way we're commanded to be good Samaritans, to help take care of each other, no matter the race, no matter the creed or code, no matter what they believed, if we all just loved each other the way we're commanded to, there wouldn't be any stealing, there wouldn't be any lying, there wouldn't be any adultery, there wouldn't be any murder, there wouldn't be a lot of evil. Amen. It's that simple. You see, God has the answer, and it's right there, and you can say it in one sentence. It's the most two. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. How is that? If you love people, you're not going to lie to them, steal from them, commit adultery with their daughters and wives and husbands, and you're not going to try to kill them, murder them. If we love God and people, we'll automatically keep the commandments. Why? Because breaking God's law hurts us and other people. Every time. Deuteronomy 6, 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes for our good always. Just like you parents, you do not have rules to make your kids' lives miserable. You have rules to keep them safe. You don't want them playing in the street because you're mean. You don't want them playing in the street because you don't want to be run over by a car or truck. You see, God's commandments were given thousands of years ago for America's good today. To prevent hate, to prevent racism, to prevent violence. And we need to get back to these commandments. If we don't, America's not going to make it. If we keep trying to live by secular humanism and their teachings, this nation is now being destroyed and it will be completely destroyed. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, we cannot do what we will, but we must do what he wills. Anybody tells you any different, it's not your friend, they're your enemy. We don't get to do just what feels good. A lot of things that feels good will kill you. We have over 100,000, mostly young people, killed in the last many months, because they thought a little pill would make them feel good, turned out to be fentanyl, and it ended their life. Well, if it feels good, you may not want to do it, because feel good doesn't always get it. Amen. feel good can cost you your life. We don't get to do what is right for us, but what is right for others. When Americans start doing what is right for everyone else, this nation will turn around, and not until. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. If you're not living by God's word, the Bible says you're not very smart. You're not wise. And I'm not worried about insulting anybody, because I'm just reading what God says. If he insults you, you need to be insulted. If the word of God insults me, I need to be insulted. And just in case you're wondering, I'm not perfect. I need this message too. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Wise men know their absolutes, and they know truth is right every time. Truth never changes. Well, there is no truth. You're totally wrong. Blue is blue today. Blue is blue tomorrow. Amen. If we jump off the Empire State Building 12 times, we're going to go down 12 times. Gravity is absolute. The laws of God are absolute. Natural and spiritual are absolute. Don't kid yourself and don't listen to nitwits. They are ordained to the devil to wreck your life. An idiot may argue with this, but it's still true. There are no absolutes. Well, go jump. This building's 30 feet tall. Jump off of it and see which way you go. It's absolute truth. You jump off this building, you're going to go down. Unless you hooked a hot air balloon or something. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Look around and look at all the families and people around you are going down with a great crash, and many of them are actually dying very young because they have bought into a bunch of demonic lies. So why are you preaching like this? Well, most of you are saved, born again, going to heaven. But I'm preaching to your kids. I'm preaching to the teenagers. I'm preaching to young people. We all need to know how to build a successful life. You build it not on the sand, but on the rock. The rock is God's word. The truth is, every life built on the sand will eventually collapse. Well, I know this guy, he's so ungodly, and he's wealthy, and he's doing great. But probably, if you really knew his life, he's miserable. And in many cases, if you watch these guys that seem to be so wealthy and so prosperous, they wind up killing themselves. Why? Because they're miserable. When you break God's law, you're going to be miserable. That's all there is to it. God's word is absolute authority. Those who teach no absolutes are teaching people to build their lives on the sand. Hey, this is good preaching. It'll keep you out of hell and keep you out of trouble in this life. How do I know that? I've been around a long time. I've seen people try everything. The only thing that works is living by this book. We build a successful life by keeping God's rules, not by making up our own. Dottie and I have made an all-out effort to serve God all of our lives, really. And we've made an all-out effort here to build a church, to try not to do anything to really edify and build up ourselves, to do everything we can to obey God, serve God, bless God's people. And the more I try to live in poverty, the more God blesses me financially. Okay. And the more I try to be humble, the more he blesses me so that I am tempted to be prideful. Okay. But I know better, because all the credit goes to God. If you want to know how to be humble, I tell you, it's very simple. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me and enables me. If you say it like that, no matter how successful you are or how blessed you are, you know you're blessed because of God who strengthens you and who enables you. That's humility. Humility is not just walking around like an old broken down mule. Humility is walking with confidence, knowing I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me or enables me. And so living for God, it's almost impossible to be poor, because God will bless you. And then you can't be living just to be blessed. You live to bless others, and God blesses you. Yes. Whoever would have thought it? I live in a giant house. I wanted to live in a smaller house, you know, that didn't look very wealthy, so I'd look humble, and God gave me this giant house. Gave it to us. The first time I had to tell somebody where I lived, I was embarrassed to tell them, because I love to be poor and humble. I am so proud of being humble. Some of you get it tomorrow morning. If you're proud of being humble, you're not humble. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that we should be sanctified, and that you should avoid sexual immorality. Situation, the ethic says, well, let the situation determine your morality. That will send you to hell. Your situation doesn't determine anything. The Word of God determines right and wrong. Situation ethics is the teaching of demons and devils, and it says in latter days we're going to have those teachings, and we got them. Verse 4, that each of you should learn to control his own body, not do what feels good. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but I know some people is going to just totally say this is nuts, and you're going to ruin your life if you do. And so I have to get a little excited, because people need to understand they're ruining their lives by violating God's law. And they've been told to do so by people they trust, like university professors, and a lot of preachers, by the way. Situation ethics is a book written by an Episcopal priest telling kids, if you're in the back seat, what's the most loving thing to do? Just do the most loving thing. He forgot the first commandment, love God. If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments, which is love people and do not do anything to harm them. Self-control today is a dirty word. Just do what feels good. We are told to let it all just hang out. Verse 6, the Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. Yes, you may think, people may think certain people are getting away with things. Even if they get away with it with the humans, they get away with it with the law, and they demonize other people and hurt other people and slander other people, God will bring justice. They're not getting away with anything. And I found out that God knows how to give me a good swift kick, too. Amen. I happen to be very afraid of him. I adore him and love him, but I'm afraid to break his commandments, because they will break me. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I've seen what it's like on that side, living for the devil, and I don't know part of that. Verse 6. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. Verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. If you're sitting out there thinking, this guy's an idiot, think again. Look at that. He who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you the Holy Spirit. You see, when we say there are no absolutes and everything is relative, we are not rejecting the commandments of men, but the commandments of the living, eternal Creator God. He created you, and he knows how to make you happy. All my life, I thought, well, if I can just do this, I'll be happy. The only thing that makes me happy is obeying God and doing God's will. And when I do, God makes me happy. There are consequences when we break God's laws intentionally. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are intending to possess it. And he says, if you really want to live a full, healthy, blessed life, then keep my commandments. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments. That's the way you have life and prosperity, is walk in the will of God for your life and do what he tells you to do. And it's not just the commandments. When he tells you to do something, that is a commandment. This church is here because God, and it was God, told me and I to come and start this church 43, going on 44 years ago. And it was the scariest thing, unbelievable. Small baby, come here without a job, no way to make a living, and start a church from zero. But God said to do it. And here it is. When you hear a word from God, you pray until you know it's God. You don't guess. And then you step out and do it. You say, well, that works for a preacher. It works for every born-again believer, your job, your career, your family, everything. Whatever God tells you to do, if you will do it, keep, and that's a personal commandment, if you will do that, God will bless you. Yes. Yes. This side over here is really excited. Maybe it'll spread. Okay. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. That's what God says about it. Well, I think I can outsmart God. Well, you can try. You can try. A lot of people have. You see, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish if you do not keep my commandments. Why? Because his law is given to protect us, and his law is given to protect this nation. Amen. If we live by God's law in America, God will protect us from the Russians and the Chinese and North Koreans and the Iranians and everybody else. Amen. He has for all these years. And now we've turned away from God, become a very wicked nation, and we wonder why we're going down the tubes and why our people are dying left and right from all kind of drugs and alcohol and shooting, killing each other. It's because people have rebelled against God's law, and we are slowly perishing. Look around. This is most, I've been around a long time. I grew up, started in the 50s. And that's not the miracle. The miracle is I'm just 49. I've been 49 now for many, many, many years. It just stuck. But I'm going to tell you, it's a different world because we lived by God's word back then. We go to bed and never lock our doors. We leave the keys in the car. We didn't have anything to worry about because people lived by the Ten Commandments. Well, they're irrelevant. If you don't want to be killed, they're not, or murdered, it's not, they're not irrelevant. People are told not to kill you in the Ten Commandments. Well, this preaching is really good, but you're amen, and it's not so hot. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. You get the blessing by obeying God. You get the curse by disobeying. Well, I got a better idea. No, you don't. God knows what you need to be doing. He knows the career. Well, I want to be this and I want to be that. God created you. He knows where you fit. Amen. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Have you ever heard a preacher get in the pulpit and read these scriptures to you before? Most preachers, yeah, they're cowards. They don't want to preach the word of God. I'm more afraid of God than I am anybody else. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all these commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." You see, the commandments are absolute and the curses are absolute. And where is that verse, Deuteronomy 28, 15? It's right after all the promises. "I pray over you every Sunday and be praying them at the end of the service today, unless I should forget it. Blessed shalt thou be when, if you hearken to my voice, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Thine enemies that rise up against shall be smitten before thy face. I'll command the blessings upon thy storehouses." Gets to verse 15, it says, "But if you do not obey me, you'll reap the curses." Which you want? Which do you want? He says, choose. "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all the curses shall come upon you." I don't want the curses. How about you? And once you start breaking God's law, you don't get a choice. They're coming. Now, I don't put condemnation on anyone, because all you got to do is repent. Ask God to forgive you. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. Somebody say amen. By choosing the new morality, America has chosen death. By refusing God's commandments, we have chosen the curse, which is now replacing God's blessings in America. Now he says, "My hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor my ear heavy that I cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God." That's what's going on in America right now. God's not really bringing judgment. If he was, we'd already be gone. But he's lifting his hand of protection because we're in rebellion. All over this land. By refusing God's commands, we have chosen the curse, which is now replacing God's blessings. You would think that intelligent people would see that our sin, and rebellion is destroying our lives. But no, Americans have decided the Bible-believing people are the problem. We're the problem. Far religious right, you believe in crazy things like it's murder to abort your babies. You believe in crazy things, you know, like you should not take little girls and cut their breasts off if they think they're a boy. You shouldn't do these evil religious people. They want to stick their nose in our business. We're just saying you're going to ruin your life if you go that way. We are not the problem. The godly people is the only reason this nation's still here. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." We're the only hope this crazy nation has. If you sit back scared to death, afraid to say anything, God may hold you accountable for not speaking up. And me. I preached like this. I have some people say, "You better be careful." Why? Why should I be careful? The devil's the one that better be careful. And the only thing I'm afraid of is God. And get a load of this. They were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Don't you mess with me. And by the way, don't you mess with any born-again believer, because you'll wind up perishing. Boy, you can just walk all over Christians. You got another thing coming. These secular humanists that think they're going to run over God's church, they're not going to get very far. It's going to turn over and slap them in the face. If we'll stay true to God and don't start compromising and live like cowards, if we'll stand strong and the preachers get in the pulpit and preach the truth, we'll turn this nation back around, because God's on our side. Yeah. So you have to preach like this, get Christians stirred up, and go out here and be godly and run for the school board. Yeah. And run for mayor. Yeah. And run for governor. I mean, if we put godly people in the right places, we can turn this nation around. Amen. And we're talking about doing what's right for everyone. It's not doing right to take a little girl and cut her breast off because she thinks she might be a boy. And we got young women now coming out transgender saying, I've ruined my life because I listened to the wrong crazy people. And then I'm not going to have the nerve to stand up and say that's wrong and defend our little girls. Yes, I will. Amen. Well, you're a bigot. You hate transgender people. I don't want to call you a liar, but I could. I love transgender people because I know we can help them. You don't have to cut body parts off. You can get counseling and therapy, and Jesus Christ can heal you and restore you to wholeness. And psychiatrists have always said the transgender thing is a mental issue, and it can be fixed without cutting body parts off. Where are the other preachers? Why isn't everybody preaching this? The problem in America is the church not doing what we're supposed to be doing and preaching what we're supposed to be preaching. God didn't put this in the Bible just to hide it. There's supposed to be a light, and it's God's word that's a light. Not my shiny bald head. That's not the light. The word of God is the light. Well, that preacher has a halo. No, I don't. That's just the shine. See, when America lived by God's commandments just a few years ago, everyone knew who their father was. Men married their girlfriends, had babies, and stayed in the same house with them and took care of them their whole lives. Most of us never even locked our doors, as I said. The proof, you see, is in the pudding. We have never lived in fear the way we do right now, and it's because we rejected God's word and went with a secular humanist that says there's no right or wrong, there are no absolute, just whatever feels good, just do that. But look around, since they started teaching that, and really my generation was the first one that started really living that, and look at us now. Most of the poverty in this country is because of the sexual immorality of men having sex with women and getting them pregnant and then taking off and leaving the mother to raise the baby by themselves. You cannot have anything but poverty when you're doing that. By buying into the everything is relative lie, America is reaping death. Because we preach that God's rules are not our final authority, because we teach there are no absolutes in our classrooms, because we do what feels good and what we perceive to be right for us, the protective hand of God is slowly, as I've already said, lifting off of this great nation, and we're becoming a third world power, and we all know it. Now, a lot of people just don't know why, but it's because we have rebelled against the word of God. But don't give up. If I had given up, I wouldn't be preaching this. I'm preaching this because I know if people turn back to the Word of God and pray, God will turn this nation around. And I frankly see some signs that God is really at work. He gave me a word several years ago, and I've been preaching it. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians, these secular humanist Marxists you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I'm hanging on to that, and I'm believing God. But get back to there. You got to know how you got to live. You got to live by this book and obey his voice. You see, we're becoming a third world power, but I'm not expecting to keep going in that direction. I'm expecting God to turn this thing around, and we need to be very careful that we pray for good, godly people to come up to lead this nation. And when God raises up somebody that's going in the right direction, let's quit tearing them apart. Sometimes we expect politicians to be totally perfect, and we're not totally perfect. You read the Bible, many times God used pagan kings to do his will. Many of our major cities are no longer safe for humans to live, and they're leaving. Okay. Even rats are smart enough to get off a sinking ship. Well, anyway, y'all getting the point. Jeremiah 32, verse 31. From the day it was built until now, this city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. You think, well, he must be talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, well, that's not true. God didn't do that. Jesus said he did. Read the Gospels. Jesus said God did destroy them because of their wickedness. But you know what? When he said this, he's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. This is later, much later. This city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. Verse 32, the people of Israel and Judah have provoked me by all the evil they are doing. And that's where the United States of America is right now. We're provoking God by insulting each other, lying on each other, preaching hate against each other, murdering each other, killing each other, raping each other, and evil, evil, evil. And God's fed up with it. He goes on to say, they, their kings and officials, their priests and prophets, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. He's saying they're the ones that have done it because they have been teaching and preaching lies against God and God's word. The Bible does not say do what feels good. It says treat people the way you want to be treated, and that doesn't always feel good. Second Thessalonians 1:8, he will punish those. New Testament, why? He's been reading Old Testament. I've read some New Testament. Here's a good one. From the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he will punish those who do not know God, who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God is just a big old teddy bear. He's not going to punish anybody. Now, you need to read the Bible one more time because you sure missed a lot. God does punish. And as I've said, he kicked me in the backside a few times. I mean, he's punished me. He'll come after you. And how many want him to come after you? I don't want him to let me get in trouble. I want him to rebuke me and correct me. How about you? It's better than being destroyed. Verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction. If you do not repent, turn back to God, eventually you'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. So I don't believe that. The day is coming when you will believe it. Yes. Yes. Proverbs 7:1,